The scripture this morning is Mark 4, 35 to 41. On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, they took him with them in the boat just as he was. Other boats were with him. A great windstorm rose, and the waves beat into the boat so that the boat was already being swamped. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" He woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Then the wind ceased, and there was a dead calm. He said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. Thanks be to God.
How many of you knew that hymn that we just sang? Well, you sang it very well for never hearing it before. It's an old gospel hymn that I used to sing. And I just thought I'd throw it at us today, since it tells our story. You might find yourself singing it later in the week. I did, after I worked with it. So, Jesus, Savior, pilot me over life's tempestuous sea. When we find Jesus and this story at the beginning of our scripture today, he has been preaching and teaching all day long, and who knows how many days in a row. In fact, there have been so many crowds that have come down to the sea, and he's been telling them parables like the ones you heard last week about the mustard seed. So many crowds that finally they took one of the fishing boats, and Jesus either stood or sat, I can't quite picture this, in the boat so that he would be out from the people and he could see them all and could teach them. He's exhausted, don't you think? Can you imagine balancing? I cannot imagine this. While I'm trying to preach and teach, balancing on a fishing boat that's kind of going like this in the waves, you know, speaking above the sound of the waves, telling stories to help the people understand the ways of God, watching their puzzled faces, patiently explaining over and over, at least to the disciples who seem to always need to be explained in the book of Mark, what you thought you were making clear the first time. No wonder Jesus is tired here at the end of this work day. No wonder he falls asleep on the boat, on the journey across the Sea of Galilee to the country of the Gerasenes, distant Gentile neighbors of the Jews. And yet, did you hear the story? As tired as he must have been, it is Jesus' idea to make the crossing of the sea by night, to go to a foreign country with no particular preparation, a country where they may or may not be welcomed. He doesn't say, "Hey guys, whoa, what a day. Let's get in the boat and go home. Won't it be great to sleep in our own beds?" No, he says, "Hey guys, let's get in the boat and set off on another journey into unknown territory after a long, exhausting day." And they all go with him. And they had to have been just as tired as he was. They take him, the text says, just as he was. That phrase just fascinates me. Just as he was. No preparation. Just as he was. Remember that phrase. We're going to come back to it. And they too leave just as they were. And not just one boat. I always thought of this story as just, oh, there's Jesus' little boat with the disciples all by themselves out on the Sea of Galilee. No, it says other boats went with them. There's an entire flotilla of boats that go with Jesus. Other boats, and they're all most likely fishing boats, right? It's perhaps the livelihood of an entire village, or maybe more than one village. They all set off together. They all encounter the storm together. They are all in peril. This is a bigger, much bigger than the fate of just one small boat with Jesus and the disciples, as momentous as that would be. If any of them go down, it will impact more than one family. If more than one perishes, God forbid, the livelihood of several villages could be wiped out. No wonder they're afraid. The very image of setting off into the dark is a bit scary for you and me. Maybe it wasn't as scary for them. They weren't used to streetlights and motion detector lights and flashlights on their cell phones. And of course, they don't have any of these things. And I bet some of them were a bit skeptical, don't you think, about getting into the boat at night. What does he want us to do, get in a boat tonight? We're really tired. Don't you know there could be a storm? Just like in the afternoon here, storms come up. And these fishermen, they know that the storms on the Sea of Galilee can be doozies. And there's no life preservers, I don't think. No rubber raft lifeboats. So when the storm comes, these disciples are truly scared. The waves are beating into the boat. I'm imagining the rain coming in sideways, so that even if they did have some sort of little lit oil lamp, it's doused by now. Steering is getting more impossible. What if the boats are actually dashed against one another by the storm because they can't see one another? This is serious. Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? And what do they hear? Snore. They are frantic. They are panicked. They are bailing water and steering and calling out maybe locations so they don't run into each other, trying to row for shore, and yet they cannot save themselves. They realize they are in the boat with this one who has shown them amazing healing miracles through the power of God, who preaches good news with stunning truth, this teacher sent from God, and he is not paying attention just when they need him most. He's asleep in the back of a boat. His head is even on a cushion. For God's sake, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? In the dark days of World War II, a sailing boat was adopted by the World Council of Churches as the symbol of the Church Universal. It was depicted on storm-tossed seas. It had a cross for a mast. Here in our perilous days, we are in the 21st century church boat. In the stormy seas of our times, sailing, it seems, with no particular preparation, no extra provisions, no life preservers. Here we are, just as we are, and there are a flotilla of competing boats with us, boats of politics, culture, other faiths, other kinds of Christians and their responses. What can we do? Will we be effective in riding out the storm? Can we steer the boat? Or in the midst of all the other boats, will we crash into one another, causing more disaster in our efforts to save ourselves and help our neighbors? Some of you probably read my update this week on Tuesday, the email we sent out, and I used one of my favorite songs from This is dating me from the Indigo Girls in the 90s. written by Emily Saliers, who, if you did not know, is the daughter of a theologian and a United Methodist minister, a worship leader who taught for many years at Candler School of Theology. In the Wood Song, Emily sings, "The thin horizon of a plan is almost clear." My friends and I have had a tough time, bruising our brains hard up against change, all the old dogs and the magician. But now I see we're in the boat by two by twos. Only the heart that we have for a tool we can use. And the very close quarters are hard to get used to. Love weighs the hull down with its weight. I think her words are an apt description of our life and times. Though we might think she's a bit optimistic in thinking that it is love that weighs the hull down with its weight. Our boats seem weighted with greed and competition rather than love and compassion. And yet I think Emily, having grown up in the cradle of the church and heard these stories all her life as she put them to poetic use, perhaps saw the bigger picture when she was writing. Perhaps she remembered our text today and remembered that Jesus is in the boat. God's love with us in human form is in the boat. God, do you not care that we are perishing? It amazes me how Jesus wakes up and immediately he is in the moment. There is no grogginess, there is no yawning. I can tell you, I certainly do not wake up that way. Jesus, so attuned to the Spirit, the power of God, that he wakes from a deep sleep into complete chaos and knows immediately what to do. Remember that phrase from the beginning of the story? They took him just as he was. Jesus wakes up and just as he is, so in tune with God, he rebukes the wind and says to the sea, "Peace, be still." In the Greek, he literally says, "Be silent. Be muzzled." And the wind and the sea obey. There is a dead calm. And Jesus says to the disciples and to us, "Why are you still afraid? Have you still no faith, no trust?" Oh, I wish I could handle crisis in this way. But I am not Jesus. None of us are. We are the ones in the boat who get panicked. But we are also the ones in the boat with Jesus. And our job in the midst of chaos is to remember that we are not alone. And to remind one another, we are not alone. We row and steer and bail out the water and pray. We protest and pray. We write letters and make calls and we pray. We build housing and feed people in our church and we pray. We volunteer and send aid and love even our unpleasant neighbors and we pray. And God shows up. Just when we think that this old boat of a church might be so tired that it's breaking apart, God shows up. Because to tell the truth, God has never left. God shows up for us just as we are. God shows up in the face of Jesus, just as he was, and God is always enough. There is always a love that passes all our understanding, watching closely over the journey. In the final verse of her song, Emily sings, "Sometimes I ask to sneak a closer look, skip to the final chapter of the book, and then maybe steer us clear from some of the pain it took to get us where we are this far." But the question drowns in its futility, and even I have got to laugh at me. No one gets to miss the storm of what will be. We're just holding on for the ride. My friends, we may feel battered and beaten, old and tired as individuals and as the church, but no matter how we feel, Jesus meets us just as we are, just where we are, with the power and the authority of God. And it is enough for any stormy journey. Remember, the task ahead of us is never greater than the power behind us. We know we will make it fine if the weather holds, if the finances hold, if all the budget comes in, blah, 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 blah. But the weather never holds, does it? There's always change in the midst of life, and the point is we can always go to the place of faith, just as we are, waiting to still the storms and heal the brokenness. Jesus is there. And that's where we need to go. And then together with the disciples of old, we can say with awe and wonder, "Who then is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Thanks be to God. Amen.